I'm Rob, but that ain't what's important. But before I do that, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge a couple of earthly angels. And I know, Sonny, you believe in them because you've had them.
Yep.
And you've got them. But I've got two earthly angels back there, and it's Robin, my beautiful wife, and my sweet mom, Patsy. And you've always heard the... you know, you always hear the expression, loving somebody to death. Well, those two ladies and a lot of members in this church have loved me to life. And so did the man who put himself up on that cross for me when I actually put him up there. And I wondered what he was thinking when he was putting himself up there 2,000 years ago and said, you know, Robert Wilson's going to come along. He's going to need me. And he felt all that sin that I was going to commit, and he did it anyway. I've got two boys, and all you fathers out there, can you only imagine what kind of love and grace to sacrifice your son, the perfect part of you, for somebody so undeserving like me? I love my wife to death. But I wouldn't give one of my sons for her, nor would I give her for one of my sons. I'm not made that way. And, you know, guys can jump on a grenade for their buddies in a foxhole, but would they do that for somebody that was so resentful of them, so disdaining of them? And I've had my road to Damascus like Saul had, later became Paul. And we all have our road to Damascus. And, he was struck blind, and 5 months ago, many of you in this church came to see me, prayed for me, and sent me wonderful letters, Brother John. That's a great ministry you have, and that sustained me a lot. And I don't see Gary, but I had a lot of people in this church praying for me, a lot of people visiting me. But I was struck blind. My own mother back there didn't think I was going to live through the night. I was in ICU 5 months ago. And how did I get there? Well, that's a little bit what I'm here tonight. I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. That's about all I can do for you. We'll get to that later. I don't know if most of you kind of understand this, but my experience growing up was I had no excuse other than to do right. I was raised right. I was the oldest of two and believed in God, country, and sense of duty. But there was something in me or something not in me that made me want to do things just a little bit more. Whether that was dive harder towards baseball or throw a block or hit somebody, maybe even with my helmet. but I always wanted to do just a little bit more. And I guess because I thought people expected that of me. They expected me to be the very best I could be. And that's good to a point. It really is. I mean, we all raise our children to be that way. We want to be better than us. And those of us that coach or work with youth, we want them to excel. But just like any other thing in life, if you go off on the wrong tangent and you're doing it for self, you're not checking your motive. Are you doing it for the team? Are you doing it for your parents, some selfless thing? Or totally anonymous, then there's goodness in that. That's God's goodness. But if you're doing it to glorify yourself, then you're going to get in trouble. And that may be kind of hard to understand and explain, so I'll take a little bit of time and tell you what it led me to do. If you would, please bring up that scripture. Start off with the reading of God's Word, and please just prostrate yourself in your seats before Him. I I'll be reading from Galatians tonight, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, chapters 19 and 20. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So what happened to me was, as I began to go down life's highway, nothing was ever good enough for me. I had everything. I had all the God-given talents, and they were truly God-given. And I used them in a way that I thought, I being the capital word there, that would be pleasing to my Heavenly Father, pleasing to my fellow man, but most of all, pleasing to me. And I was a master actor at it too. I could do all the right things so that it looked like I was very humble in doing so. And when Brother Sonny asked me to talk, first thing that crept into my mind was, Robert, you've got to be careful here, because Satan knows my weakness, and my weakness is myself. And that's where he attacks. Brother Sonny, what do you do when you have a weak point? You reinforce it. We learned that in the Army. And so you recognize your own weakness, and you got to reinforce it. So I was hesitant, and I think my exact words to him was, let me pray on it. I said, let me pray about it. So again, if you don't know what to do, sometimes it's time to pray. And I didn't ask for the cup to be taken from me, but if it wasn't going to happen, I was probably been okay with it. Now, I looked over at Brother Sonny when Craig was saying that he was going to be gone for the next couple weeks. I said, look, I cannot sing. I was real worried he was going to ask me to start leading the choir. But no, I'm not a singer. So anyway, when I said 5 months ago I was in ICU, well, what got me there? What was in that box right there? And I kept it in a box, and I kept it real sealed up so that nobody could see it. My inside, though, didn't match my outside. And it'll come out. Your inside will inevitably show through. No amount of Kiehl's paint, no amount of toothbrushing, no amount of cologne, no amount of sweating, it's going to show through. Everybody has one of those boxes. But what's in it is yours and yours alone. Mine was one dark blot, a big dark blot. Some of us have blemishes. But those blemishes, when you put them all together, and they're probably neatly categorized, and we only show them to those people that needs to see them. But those blemishes can be a big old dark blot. And that was a symptom. Mine was alcoholism. And I ask you to sit there tonight and ask yourself, what's yours? I can't do your inventory for you. I can't look in your box. But if you've got a weak spot, I know where you can find help.
Amen.
And it ain't me. And it ain't Brother Sonny. And it ain't Brother Matt or Ben. But it's the one who we serve.
Amen.
So anyway, I kept this in that box. And I kept it in that box because I didn't want anybody to see it. But I say that I did I drank. That's mine. I drank. Other people run. Other people shop. Other people eat a lot of food. But we were changing our mood. That's what we were seeking, to change our mood. I did that. I flew every dangerous mission I could lay my hands on because I wasn't expected to in my positions. I didn't have to fly those, but I did them. And I guess it was just because I wasn't happy. I had a soul sickness. The inside didn't match the outside. And see, I didn't have an excuse. Because I was a spiritual person. And people say, well, that'll make it easier. Well, it might make it easier if you do right, if you do God's will. But it's a long road to Damascus if you're trying to turn left and right off of it. A long road. And, you know, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I inherited something wonderful. And that was the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And it comforts me, with a capital I, it comforts me. It counsels me. It also convicts me. And I may be talking about some, what you would think on the outside, be some non-spiritual things. Because I did some non-spiritual things myself. But this is all a very spiritual journey. Even if you're lost, which I pray that there's no one within the sound of my voice that's lost. But even if you're lost, this is still a spiritual journey. It's just your destination is in your hands. So that road to Damascus of mine, when I went on this journey, I tried to change my mood because I had that soul sickness. I had an unholy hole in my spirit. And I was convicted of it all the time. When I was the actor and I was doing things with nobody else to see, I didn't want anybody to know because I was ashamed of them. There's always two people that knows. One's in the mirror. Another one's our Savior.
That's right.
You know, it's a pretty bad thing when I ain't the best looking guy in the world, but I look pretty good sometimes. But it's a dadgum shame when you don't want to shave in front of a mirror. Because that person in that mirror knows. And he hears God, that quiet voice.
Yeah.
It's got me through many scrapes, honey. Some people call it that feeling. When the hair stands up on the back of your neck, whatever you want to call it. Every time I didn't listen to that feeling, I either got in trouble or found myself on the ground when I should have been in the air. That was God. And he saved me. I got to where I was drinking 2 pints of vodka a day. I've come into this church under the influence of alcohol, not under the influence of the Spirit. It was the Spirit. That's why it's written on that sign. I tell my wife all the time, Robin, I say, look, evil spirits. Because it says right on the window, spirits. But, you know, it's a shame that a person who's educated, relatively smart, I am from Georgia, so you'll have to forgive me, but
yeah.
Relatively smart, for a dumb old country boy, I should be fairly smart. But, you know, to have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and take a shot so you can go back to sleep. A hidden shot, too, by the way. Usually if we're ashamed of something, we hide it in a box. Don't let anybody see it. And then when you get up, before you can do anything else, have to have another shot because you're shaking so bad. Can't brush your teeth until you've had a shot. Shaking. Night sweats. That's my symptom, alcohol. Any of our symptoms could do that to us. Mine was a physical withdrawal from my symptom, alcohol. Self-induced disease. Because I was trying to fill an unholy hole with material things. Pick your material. Could be a ring or a dress, a suit, a job, a net income, women, men, titles. It's all material.
That's right.
We're spiritual beings because God created us what? In His image. He didn't put me on this earth to be a drunk. By the grace of God, today, I'm not.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, if I don't get up tomorrow and seek His will, I'll be drunk tomorrow night. And I'll be dead in a month. Because God will come to you and come to you as long as you're seeking Him. As long as you're listening and attempting. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But if He's calling out to you and you don't listen to Him and you're running from Him, I firmly believe, I may not be spiritually factual on this, but I firmly believe that if I had not listened to His call in the hospital room in ICU, He would have called me home. He would have called me home. And yes, I'd be in paradise. I firmly believe that. But my work wasn't done. I don't think He would have said, well done. I don't know what I'm on earth for, and I don't have to figure that out. That's the great freedom that I do have today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I told Robin this. Because God's already in tomorrow. All I can do is my best for Him. And that's getting up in the morning. I have to say physically fit because that's part of the way my mind works. I have to get up and I have to go do a little PT. And that's my Thanksgiving time. I told Brother Sonny, I do a lot of Thanksgiving time. Try to do no supplication, but I'm Robert. And self comes into it and world comes into it. And I have to say, Lord, self-world, 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 just like a cadence to keep it away from me. And then I come back and I do a little spiritual fitness too. And, you know, if the Lord struck my legs tomorrow and I couldn't run or I couldn't exercise, I'd still be able to pray. You know, a lot of people have been taught patience the hard way, getting their legs blown off, being sick and infirm and in bed. How many of our members wish they could be in the house of the Lord right now and can't? You know? So when those nice soft lessons or softballs, as I call them, sorry for any softball players, but I grew up playing that little hardball. When the softballs come, you know, now's my turn, time to hit those. Because before I'd wait on them. I didn't want no softball. I had to learn all my lessons the hard way. Flat on my back, struggling in a canal with leeches all over me, or isolating myself in my home in Enterprise, drinking vodka. Because see, what I try to do to myself, what I thought the Iraqis weren't capable of doing, I try to do it one drink at a time. Many of y'all saw me, came to visit me for, I think it was your first hospital visit, wasn't it, Brother Matt? I was dying in sin. There's, what Brother Sonny tell us when he read out of Samuel, talking about David's Goliath. We all have our Goliaths, that's what you said. We all have a road to Damascus. And I just pray that my name doesn't turn back to Saul. Oh, I want to still be Paul.
That's right.
When this ball game's over, and that last second ticks off in the fourth quarter, I want my name to still be Paul. I want to be able to see. And I want to hear that, well done. And those of you that do have something in your box, you know, I know how I got rid of mine. And it's a daily reprieve. It really is. It's a daily reprieve. And we all may have one of those things in this box. I don't know what it is. I do know the answer. There is a solution. Lay that thing right there, and I'll come pick it back up because that's my nature. I'll come pick that back up. But young people, before I pick that back up, there's one thing that always happens, and that's a thought. Thoughts, talks, and action. I'll think about it, and if I don't tell somebody about it, I'll talk to myself about it. And then I'll go pick that box back up. So one of the things I do during my spiritual fitness training in the morning is I'll ask God to protect me from Satan, self, dishonesty, and alcohol. Because I don't want to pick that box back up. I like to look back on it. I like to look back. And it may be a little item in my box. Maybe not the big one. By the grace of God, I've been relieved of that alcohol problem. And that's one of the promises. I've ceased fighting alcohol, anything and anyone, including alcohol. But I still have those character defects. Because remember, I said that's a symptom. That's a symptom. That was an outward profession of my sinfulness. It's an outward profession of faith when we step in those baptismal waters. What's in our boxes is an outward profession of our sinful nature, our carnal nature. You can lay that, those items that's in your box, lay them at the altar, lay them at the cross. And if you don't have that Savior, come to know Him. Because that spiritual journey is in all of us. The destination's up to you.
Amen.
You don't have to tell anybody about what's in your box. But like I said, if you have a weak point, it's best to have an accountability partner or a battle buddy, Sonny. I have battle buddies for different things. Sonny and I have been battle buddies for a long time.
Yeah.
Shared a lot of dirt, sweat, tears together. Lots more smiles, though, praise the Lord. If you tell somebody about it, your accountability partner, you know what it is. You might get a little help. You at least get prayed for. I'm here today because somebody prayed for me and loved me. When I see all the, this is a side note, but it's a spiritual side note as I chase this spiritual bunny. You wouldn't believe in my journey to recovery how many spiritual caregivers I've been seeing. Dr. Mack. There's another doctor, a lot of them. It's probably because my eyes were opened. God opened my eyes. And it's a blessing to see a man of science, or a lady of science, please forgive me, I'm gender nonspecific there, that cares for people but realizes they're an instrument of God.